is Matthew Olson. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Yanka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or you can look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue that you've heard on the news tonight, here are some of the phone numbers, so get a pen if you have one and begin writing. Here we go. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Robert Barncord.
And I'm Sari Gametha. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Ani and Lynn host Positively Revolting, talk radio from an anarcho-feminist perspective. At 9, Lisa Loving hosts Democracy in Motion. She'll speak with Portland Public Schools board member Steve Buell about the issues board members are debating, from school pushout to the right to carry guns. At 10, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interview, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, Rabia Yemen hosts The Digital Divide. Thanks, KBOO members, for your support for your community radio station. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
And stay tuned now for an in-depth report on the recent rally to free the snake river, that is. Good night, Sarika.
Good night, Robert.
Good night, Matthew.
Good night.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Free the water, free the salmon, free us all. Free.
On Saturday, October 3rd, a mobilization took place to call for the removal of four dams along the Snake River in eastern Washington. Up to 400 people gathered in support, paddled 3 miles to Lower Granite Dam, sang and prayed on the river. I went there to show my support and to record this story.
My name's Leela.
And what are we doing right now?
We are all set up, sitting in this beautiful handmade canoe made by our good friends. And we are just getting ready to depart. We got people all gussied up in their costumes. We got all the little kids. We got some little kids with paddles in their hand ready to go. We got a lot of people, a lot of different kinds of people, some who are like in a boat every day and some people who've probably never been in a boat before in their life. And we're all here getting ready to cruise out on the river and just get up close to that dam and see what we're talking about. Just really realizing as we journeyed up the Columbia how much of a home that this river makes for all of us here and how much of like the structure of this place is this river. Like all the winds that come off of her and all of the landforms that we know and love are formed, a lot of them, by this route that this water takes over the eons, you know? And a lot of the story of this place is this river as well. And especially the creatures who call this river home. And so it's not enough to have the river just kind of paying lip service to the river and using the river as a like a utility, like an ox or something that's not even alive, but this water is not only holding life but kind of an entity in and of themselves, that it's a living water that needs to be put back to health again.
So what are we about to do?
We're going to go paddle over and see those dams.
Here to just be a part of something that's really instrumental, I think, as far as generating public awareness for the need to remove these four dams. Mm-hmm. So to have 300 folks come together paddling together too, you know, not motorized transport, and to be side by side paddling as a fleet up to these dams is, I mean, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, so you can't miss it.
Where are you from?
Spokane.
You brought your son here?
Yep. Brought Celilo. He loves the water, and he's got his name for a reason, and he's going to hopefully do this kind of work the rest of his life. It's just the beginning.
Linwood Lochie. I'm here because the Lower Snake River dams have created an ecological disaster. We need to educate a lot of folks who are operating with a mythical system that these dams provide benefits that are greater than their costs. Mm-hmm. Well, the transportation, in terms of barging, for example, is in a long, steep decline. Transportation on this river, in terms of freight, has declined 72% in the last 15 years. I mean, this is the kind of information that we put together. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, the container traffic now is shut down. There's no containers being shipped on this river anymore. And all industries have abandoned the river except bulk wheat. That's it. And so we're maintaining this system at huge costs to, in effect, subsidize the shipment of less than half of the wheat growing in north central Idaho and eastern Washington. It makes no economic sense at all. And, you know, there's a lot of special interests, the barging companies and frankly, the farmers who ship by the river. They don't want to lose this. It's a big subsidy involved here. And so, but what I find interesting, you know, I ask this question sometimes. I say, well, gee, how did they ship wheat before the dams? I mean, this notion is put out here that, my gosh, if we lose this river, we'll have no wheat growing here. This will be a desert. And I say, well, I remember when I was a kid, they grew wheat. You know, I grew up in Lewiston, Idaho, and they grew wheat all around there before the dams ever went in. Mm-hmm. And they ship wheat by rail up on the Palouse Prairie, and they ship wheat from Montana clear to the coast, and they're surviving. So how is it that these farmers can't survive without this subsidy for barge transportation? Mm-hmm. And nobody's come up with a good answer to that.
How will this river be affected by the removal of these dams?
Well, first of all, you have to recognize that these dams right now are a very sterile environment. I mean, you travel along these rivers, and a lot of it's just riprap stone rock walls, and it used to be a rich riparian habitat. And so we will, with the breaching of the dams, for one thing, we'll regain about 30,000 acres of land. Okay, 30,000 acres. And that will be rich riparian zone with cottonwoods and willows and all those kinds of things that, you know, the loss of wildlife in this zone, aside from the salmon, but I mean game birds and deer and you know, songbirds and all that. I mean, it's thousands and hundreds of thousands of animals, as documented by the Washington Fish and Game Department. So first of all, we'll return the river to a riparian, you know, area. A second way that it'll impact things, of course, is salmon, salmon and steelhead, and also lamprey eel. You know, the lamprey eel now, we've lost 95% of lamprey eels. And the Idaho sockeye this year, we lost 99% of the remaining run. And it was due to water temperature. And of course, water temperature, these reservoirs attract a lot more solar heat than river does, and so that contributes to that. So returning the salmon, not only is it a spiritual matter for a lot of people, especially our Native Americans like the Nez Perce people, but also the economics of it is unbelievable. I mean, in 2001, we had a real salmon run. I mean, the first one for a long, long time. And the University of Idaho, I think it was, that they did this study and said that run, just that June and July, or, you know, the spring run, brought in $42 million. So salmon is big economics. We have huge numbers of fish hatcheries now in existence trying to maintain these runs. I mean, a large number. So we would gradually be able to, you know, close those hatcheries. Mm-hmm. Hatcheries still play an important role, especially in reintroduction, for example, of coho. Mm-hmm. The Nez Perce have been very successful in using their hatcheries to reintroduce coho salmon. So, I mean, there's a role to be played. But one of the things now is we're flooding the rivers with hatchery fish as opposed to wild fish. The wild fish are, you know, they're still in decline. And so, consequently, we're affecting the gene pool. Mm-hmm. The wild fish have a different set of genes than those hatchery ones. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're... The data on you know, the real success or failure of our recovery efforts are built around wild fish. Those are the fish that are endangered, threatened. And we have, the Corps has spent over $700 million trying to fix these dams, these four dams, just so that, you know, better fish passage going down and coming back and all this. Well, we're still, in terms of the fish going downstream, the smolts, we're still killing half of them.
The environmental degradation and historical amnesia go hand in hand. So if we don't know the histories and if we don't understand the grief that's living right outside our back door, historically and presently, if we are unconscious of that and in that kind of amnesiac fog, we allow the degradation to keep happening. A lot of people just don't know. I mean, it's kind of a collective spell that we're under, and we don't want to remember, and I think a lot of that's because it's really painful, and it's really hard, and it's really hard to recognize the ways in which we're all oppressed, and also recognize the ways in which we're oppressors, and our ancestors were oppressors, and we continue to be oppressors, and they were also oppressed, and just that whole journey is such a tender one and a grief-soaked one. And when we live in a culture, in a society that doesn't make space or hold space for that grief to come out in an authentic way, it just gets quite literally dammed up. The grief that I feel sometimes on the banks of the Columbia, or just around some of the mines, or around the story of the lamprey or the salmon, like, you know, when I feel that grief, I can feel it stretching back generations. And a lot of the sadness that I feel sometimes isn't just mine, you know. And a lot of the fear and a lot of the terror, and it's scary to feel sometimes. And but I also think that that's what our land and that's what our waters are begging for from us, is just that we feel, and that we listen, and that we hear, and that we fall in love with what is still here and still vibrant and still breathing. My name is Chelsea Armstrong, and Atria has a website, www.atriarevival.com, and there's some more information about our organization on there. So.
My name is Bibi McGill. People of Portland, I would say educate yourselves on the state of our environment and the things that the government is hiding from us, and the things that we're doing to really create imbalance in our planet. We're the guardians of this earth, you know, and we're responsible, you know, for living in a way that continues to create harmony for future generations. So go watch the movie Damnation. Go watch that film. That taught me a lot. So get out there. Take a stand.
Rivers are really like the life meridians, not just of like the plants and animals and the people that are alive and literally fed and kept alive by those waters today, but the life meridians of our memories too.
That's
One of the main things we need to do together right now is remember together who we really are and who we are as a collective, and remember who we are as individuals, and then how to bring those together in a really good way. Same with the music. You know, that rhythm that helps us paddle together and find the rhythm with the current of the moment. All of those things are what Atria is bringing to the watersheds. And we've really just begun. You know, every relation that we make opens up a whole tributary of story. And I think as we keep gathering the stories of these waters and our peoples and our creatures and our elements, those stories start to create a kind of health. Oh, when the dams come down, we will all hear the sound of the river song rising. Her voice in its tidings will sweep.
For KBOO News, I'm Jared Dantzler.
Born on her melodies. Oh, when the dams come down, we'll all hear the sound of all the hearts that were silenced, shocked by the violence. May they find their voice again. May the sweet waters breathe again. Oh, when the dams come down.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 p.m. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the first annual Purple Mile Walk, Saturday, October 10th at 10 a.m., starting at the Center for Self-Enhancement in Portland. The walk ends at King Elementary School with a celebration to show solidarity